which is the.
It'd be great if you could say that or send that, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to be too many things, not too many else.
Yeah.
In this case, it's Friday, and in that, that is lots of.
So the thing would be interpreted.
Right.
On the threshold, in fact, we have to be favorable.
But I'm advising, what I'm saying.
Both in all kinds of staff meetings.
Did you come out?
I did.
Or a design session, or an amenity, each piece of what. I want to do this thing, it's easy, I want to do it.
I'm moving in.
I check my.
For Jason's people.
Yeah, I think, yeah, can you use Jason?
Oh, it was the wrong spot, we're in the wrong spot.
Where did you go? I'm like, what, can I get moving in?
We have Will and Courtney under contract.
God, he wasn't going to be able to bring it.
He knows.
Yeah.
Okay, we should grab her down in version last. AJ Croce is not her. Ever Jim Croce?
Yeah. I'm just going to remember the term.
Exactly, I'm sorry.
What? AJ, I'm sorry.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, his son plays. Yeah, I want to be one of your.
I'm going to press it, can you?
Oh, you are.
Good to meet you.
I'm fine with that.
Why?
Good to meet you. Yeah, I'm station master.
We'll get started. Good evening, everyone. The October 28th, 2025 Loudoun County Planning Commission public hearing will come to order. And as is our custom, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Members of the public who wish to comment on any item on the public hearing legislative agenda may do so. If you are in the boardroom, please fill out a speaker slip and hand it to the Assistant Deputy Clerk of the Planning Commission at the end of the dais to my left. If you signed up to speak after 12:30 p.m., please confirm your name is on the speaker list as public comment sign-up closes after 12 noon as indicated on the website. If you are participating electronically, please call the number on the bottom of the screen. Indicate your name and the agenda item you wish to address. Each speaker, whether speaking on behalf of an organization or as an individual, will have 3 minutes. Written comments may be submitted to the Assistant Deputy Clerk, who will make copies for the Planning Commission members. The Commission may vote on the application tonight and send its recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, or may forward the item to a work session for further consideration before taking a final vote. Our procedure for tonight's public hearing is as follows. Staff presentation followed by commissioners' questions to staff. Tonight, each commissioner will be given 5 minutes to ask questions of staff. Hearing is open then for public comment, 3 minutes for each speaker. After everyone has had a chance to speak, the hearing is closed. Staff will then have an opportunity to provide any response to public comment. Finally, there will be a motion, deliberation, and vote by the commission. pursuant to Virginia Code Section 2.2-3708.3 and the Board's Rules of Order, Commissioner Banks requested to participate in this meeting remotely. A physical quorum of the Loudoun County Planning Commission is present in the boardroom, and the Commission has made arrangements for the voice of Commissioner Banks to be heard by all persons in the boardroom. Commissioner Banks made this request within the required time frame, and the county attorney determined that his request meets the qualifications to participate remotely. The Planning Commission will record in its minutes that Commissioner Banks participate remotely due to a personal reason. And Commissioner Banks, just checking to see if you can hear.
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you.
We got you. Thank you very much. All right, first item up, we have minutes from the September 23rd, 2025 public hearing. And if anyone's had a chance to review and wishes to make a motion.
So moved.
Motion made by Commissioner Myers, seconded by Commissioner Miller. And any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor say aye.
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 That motion will carry 7-0-2 with Commissioners Jasper and Moderetti absent for the vote. Next, we have disclosures, and I will start to my right. Disclosures. Commissioner Banks, any disclosures?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. So that will cover that. So our one item for tonight is CPAM 2024-5, Electrical Infrastructure Comprehensive Plan Amendment. And if you notice, I have given staff an extended amount of time, 25 minutes for this presentation, given that it's our only item of the evening. Ready when you are, Pat.
Could you turn your mic?
So, here we go. So, I'm Pat Giglio with the Department of Planning and Zoning. Also with me this evening is Teresa Stein, Community Planning Program Manager, and Paul Vernon, Project Manager with Kimley Horn. The Electrical Infrastructure Comprehensive Plan Amendment proposes map and policy amendments to the Loudoun County 2019 General Plan related to the preferred location, siting, design, and aesthetics of high voltage transmission corridors and electric infrastructure. During tonight's meeting, we'll provide a summary of the findings in the Electrical Infrastructure CPAM Policy Research Memorandum prepared by Kimberly Horn, followed by an overview of the proposed electrical infrastructure amendments to the 2019 General Plan included in your packets. The Board of Supervisors initiated and approved the project plan for the Electrical Infrastructure CPAM on December 3rd, 2024. On July 17, 2025, county staff and the consultant provided the board with a project update. Board members were supportive of the draft amendments and the continued refinement. That might be Commissioner Banks. And proposed language. Throughout the summer, county staff and the consultant engaged in public outreach. The outreach included a community information meeting held at Douglas Community Center in Leesburg on July 23rd, where 21 members of the public attended. Most attendees were supportive of the draft amendments and the policy supporting co-location of transmission lines within existing transmission corridors and the incorporation of passive trails and natural areas in transmission corridors. Other attendees expressed concern with the visual impacts and reported health risk associated with overhead high voltage transmission lines. The county also maintained an online comment form on the project webpage where 18 members of the public have provided comments or letters to date. County staff also facilitated meetings with county committees, referral agencies, Dominion Energy, and the Piedmont Environmental Council to gather additional input on the proposed draft amendments in preparation for the public hearings in the fall. So the project plan for the Electrical Infrastructure CPAM is divided into two phases. Each phase includes a mapping and a policy review and development component. Phase one is focused on strengthening and developing additional policies to guide the development of high voltage transmission corridors. It also includes a mapping component that identifies all existing and approved high voltage transmission corridors as a feature in the 2019 General Plan and a preferred location for the development of new transmission lines within the county. The phase one draft policy amendments and electrical infrastructure map are being presented tonight for your consideration. So the CPAM also has a phase two. It's anticipated to begin following completion of phase one in the spring of 2026. Phase two is focused on proactive long-term planning for potential new high voltage transmission corridors to address anticipated local and regional electric demand. Phase two will consider amendments to the electrical infrastructure map developed in phase one to identify potential new transmission corridors designated by the county, as well as policy amendments to the 2019 general plan as necessary. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Paul for his presentation on the memo.
Thank you, Pat, and thank you, members of the Planning Commission. As Pat said, we're going to review the findings of the memorandum and discuss the 2019 proposed amendments. We're not here to talk tonight about individual transmission projects, but we are here to talk about how the proposed draft amendments to the general plan can help guide future decisions. It's important to recognize and discuss the difference between policy and regulation. Policies in the comprehensive plan express the county's vision and goals. They help guide decisions, but don't carry any legal force. Regulations, by contrast, are enforceable with specific standards and requirements and are mandatory for transmission infrastructure. That regulatory control lies with the SCC, the State Commission Corporation. This slide outlines the focus of the infrastructure CPAM, starting with a comprehensive literature review and a series of topics and developed research and findings, following then to the draft map text and policy amendments that we'll discuss. As part of our research, we looked at how other counties across the country are handling similar challenges, and those dealing with data center growth and expanded electrical demand here in Virginia, Fauquier County, Prince William, Fairfax County, and others, to understand how peer jurisdictions were amending their policies. A focus of the research was understanding the broader impacts of transmission infrastructure and identifying best practices and exploring new technologies and ways to optimize electric infrastructure to meet future demand while also addressing community concerns. Oh, that's hard to see. electrical demand across the United States has grown. Demand plateaued between 2005 and 2020, rising by 0.1%, and projected increase of 1.7% across the country. But we have different growth projections here, mostly from data center growth, as Loudoun County is the largest data center market in the country. You can see from this graphic, between 2018 and 2023, there's about a 230% increase, and then a projected 240% increase by 2028. And that's not 10%, that's 230 and 240. And this growth is not just new data centers, this is previously approved and ones on the way. In terms of priorities, the theme here was balance. We tried to be considerate of many different points of view, residents' concerns, be they east, west, urban, suburban, rural, and understand the balance and interconnection between meeting electrical needs, balancing economic growth, and preserving community character. We reviewed the responsibilities and complexity of regulatory bodies and their roles, starting with FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, an independent federal agency that oversees the transmission and wholesale sale of electricity. PJM, the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland Interconnection, is a regional transmission organization. PJM coordinates how electricity moves across state lines. And at the state level, the SEC, regulates public utilities. It makes sure that electric service providers operate fairly and reliably, and ensure the consumers receive safe, dependable, and adequate service. The map on the right, shows the complexity of the PGM network. It was important for us to not think in isolation and to remember that we're part of a much larger system, where power is coming to us. But at other times going to destinations and consumers in other parts of this network and potentially in other states. Locally, Dominion is the main electric utility for Loudoun County and much of Virginia. In addition to generating electricity, Dominion is responsible with building, operating, and maintaining transmission infrastructure. Dominion also ensures its infrastructure is meeting safety, reliability, and environmental standards and regulations. Loudoun County controls zoning and develops the comprehensive plan, which guides land use decisions in the county, but the county does not have any regulatory control in the process. That said, the SEC does consider local comprehensive plans in the review process when requested by the county. This slide illustrates the roles and levels of influence these groups have in the electrical transmission development process, the dark green being of more minor influence, the brighter green of greater influence, and where the stars are is the greatest level of influence. What this slide generally emphasizes is that decision-making is concentrated at the federal, regional, and state levels. Counties in Virginia have very limited formal authority. FERC does play a limited but potentially significant role in approving transmission corridors in rare cases as a last resort. When states fail to act or obstruct projects in designated national interest electric transmission corridors, NIETCs, in these cases, FERC can exercise backstop siting authority, including the power to approve routes and grant eminent domain. This designation further impacts local control, allows FERC to override decisions on transmission projects. FERC can override SEC decisions, but local participation and public reviews is still enabled. The SEC has the ultimate authority, as we mentioned. It's a multi-year process that begins with an application impact analysis, includes public notice, environmental review, hearings, and opportunities for public input before the SEC makes a decision based on need and environmental impact. The SEC does look at a range of factors that are up here on the screen, but perhaps most important to this conversation on the right, the consideration of the comprehensive plan when requested by the county, which is ultimately why we're doing this work, to amend the 2019 general plan to give a greater level of influence to the county in this process. And talking about the basics of transmission and corridors, we want to talk about the where. The map on the right shows the locations of existing and approved high transmission corridors across the county. Again, here, it is important for us to think about this not being in isolation. These blue and red and dashed line corridors on the maps, they go through the county from one side to the other, and we want to think about this almost like a highway of power. It's coming in, it's getting off the highway, or it's going through the county along the highway to another destination. The policy update focuses on supporting efficiency and increasing capacity of existing transmission lines, and the draft policy supports those actions prior to considering new transmission lines and new corridors. With today's advanced conductors, capacity can be greatly increased. Replacing old lines with newer lines through reconductoring can increase capacity by up to 280%, allowing for the retrofitting of corridors for more capacity prior to expansion. This slide highlights some of the common infrastructure designs we see here in the county: the monopole with the 230 kV, the lattice with its 500 kV, the H-frame at 138, and the hybrid at 230. The height of the infrastructure here is particularly important, ranging from about 125 to 180 feet. This slide shows different corridors throughout the county in different land use scenarios, the rights of way here being widths that range from between 100 to 500 feet. The draft policy addresses a number of community concerns. Visual impact came out most often in the literature review, citing a negative perception by a majority of the public. Although this infrastructure is big, can seem out of scale in context with its surroundings, it is still necessary infrastructure. Additionally, there are community concerns on how transmission infrastructure impacts the natural environment. High voltage lines can affect wetlands, streams, and local biodiversity. Construction and clearing of vegetation can disrupt natural systems, leading to habitat loss and fragmentation. The draft policy additionally focuses on the importance of ecological sensitivity in planning. Designs that aim to be wildlife friendly, vegetation management strategies are encouraged, and avoidance of areas with critical habitat. The draft policy also addresses challenges and opportunities with undergrounding, and to put this into perspective nationally, even though underground transmission lines are increasing in popularity, undergrounding in the United States is done a minority of the time. These are often used for short strategic distances where visual, historic, residential density impacts need to be minimized. Most often at 230 kV, we found one example of a 500 kV line buried in the United States with others outside of the USA. These lines, underground lines, are more expensive and complex, 4 to 14 times more expensive, and maintenance is more challenging and expensive due to equipment needs and operating conditions. The draft policy encourages co-location, placing transmission lines within existing corridors like roads, trails, metro rail, others to avoid the acquisition of new land for expansion. This helps to reduce costs, visual impacts, and construction disruptions, and can simplify permitting by using routes that are already approved. We see on the left the WNOD trail in Ashburn showing how infrastructure and recreation can coexist. The draft policy also supports line rebuilds and voltage upgrades, replacing older lattice towers with modern steel monopoles, improving reliability and capacity without expanding right-of-way, and by increasing voltage, these systems move more power without encroaching on existing neighborhoods. And the image to the right shows a rebuild and voltage upgrade within an existing right-of-way. The updated policy highlights and support ways transmission corridors can serve a dual purpose beyond just carrying power lines. By integrating trails and preserving natural habitats, utilities can create amenities and community-friendly spaces. These areas can look less barren and can help reduce public opposition by offering visible shared community benefits. The draft policies support ongoing collaboration and education efforts with the community, providers, and other stakeholders regarding the future planning of transmission corridors, understanding that early ongoing public engagement is crucial to gaining community support and addressing community concern. And just to summarize the six policies, basically, and Pat will go into them in more detail, but the efficient use of existing corridors, making sure the corridors are upgraded and as efficient as possible, planning electric infrastructure adjacent to compatible land uses, minimizing impacts through siting and routing and design, increasing efficiency and capacity, recreational and natural uses within transmission corridors, and as we just discussed, the importance of outreach.
So now I'll provide a little overview.
Another overview of the policies. As highlighted in the presentation and in the CPAM memo prepared by Kimberly Horn, it's anticipated that the county will see additional high voltage transmission lines to address existing and projected electrical load growth. The draft map and text amendments proposed with the electrical infrastructure CPAM builds on the existing policies in chapter 6 and 7 of the 2019 general plan. The policies continue to support the construction of necessary electrical infrastructure to ensure the structural integrity and reliability of the county's electrical network to serve existing businesses and residential uses while supporting economic development. The draft policies support the incorporation of new technologies to increase efficiency and optimize the capacity of existing transmission lines to further reduce the need for new transmission lines. The draft policies include guidance on techniques to minimize the impact of transmission corridors on the built and natural environment. These include locating and expanding existing transmission corridors in areas planned for commercial and industrial uses, and avoiding, when possible, urban centers, mixed use and residential developments, towns, villages, and rural landscapes. The policies continue to support the construction of underground transmission lines where feasible to minimize impacts on existing communities and sensitive rural and historic areas. The policies support the use of siting and design techniques to minimize the visual impact of overhead transmission lines on adjacent uses. These techniques include the use of existing forest and landscape buffers to shield and soften views of transmission corridors. The policies also promote reconductoring, voltage conversion, and grid-enhancing technologies to increase the efficiency and capacity of existing transmission lines. The draft policies support local electric generation, energy storage, and an integration of renewable energy to enhance the reliability of the electrical grid while minimizing the need for additional transmission lines within the county. The policies also call for the county and private sector to monitor energy usage and incorporate energy-efficient techniques to reduce the county's electrical demand. The draft policies include language supporting the utilization of transmission corridors for passive trails and natural areas for native plant and wildlife habitat. The draft policies also support ongoing education and collaboration with the community and electrical providers when considering the expansion or the establishment of new transmission corridors to minimize community and environmental impacts. The draft amendments also call for the county to develop policy positions and legislative priorities for electrical infrastructure to advocate for state legislation through the board's annual legislative program. The draft policies propose the inclusion of an electrical infrastructure map identifying all existing and approved high voltage transmission corridors as a feature of the 2019 general plan. The adoption of the electrical infrastructure map in combination with the policies supporting the co-location of transmission lines in the existing corridors is in keeping with the county's existing policies. The electrical infrastructure map provides a visual representation of the corridors where the county would anticipate and support the co-location, expansion, and development of high voltage transmission lines. Provisions within the Code of Virginia direct the State Corporation Commission to consider guidance within a county's comprehensive plan when requested by the jurisdiction during their review of transmission projects. The proposed map and policy amendments provide a framework guiding electrical providers, the SCC, and other decision makers on issues for consideration when planning and evaluating future high voltage transmission corridors within the county. While the county has no formal role in the approval process for transmission lines, the inclusion of the proposed electrical infrastructure map and policy amendments in the 2019 general plan improve the county's ability to influence and guide the location, development, and management of existing and future high voltage corridors in the county. With that, concludes our presentation. Staff supports a recommendation of approval and are available for questions.
All right, thank you, commissioners. Questions, and as I mentioned, you can speak up to 5 minutes. And Commissioner Moderetti.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the last sentence you just made at the end of the conclusion of your presentation, so none of this is binding for SEC. We can guide them, but not necessarily it's binding. They can still decide something, design outside what we are proposing here. Is that correct?
That's correct. As outlined in the staff report, there's a number of items that they consider in addition to a comprehensive plan when they evaluate transmission line projects. What this is really doing is teeing up the county when we go before the SEC to recognize what our priorities are in being able to advocate for certain routes and or undergrounding in certain situations.
Without this change here, I mean, are we not influencing the decision right now as a county?
We currently are. In fact, you know, our existing policies support co-location, they support undergrounding. What these policies do is expand that language and provide more clarity. And also with the introduction of the electrical infrastructure map clearly shows those routes where we would support co-location in those existing corridors. And so that's something we don't have in our current policies, and this just provides that additional detail.
Okay. Just one other question or comment is, in the presentation, you talked about environmental impacts and other things. Maybe this is not exactly the place, but I don't see anything about how it can impact the public health or anything similar to that. So there is no education needed in terms of how these electric lines impact the public health.
So the question about public health. So we've, as part of the memorandum, and you can speak to that in terms of purported health, but so the answer is, in terms of purported health effects for high voltage transmission corridors, that the SEC has evaluated those and does not consider that as part of their process. And go ahead.
We did review it in the policy memorandum. The issue is, for as many studies as you can find that suggest that there are potential health impacts to high voltage transmission lines, you can find just as many that say that there aren't. So we were not able to make a conclusive determination whether there is or isn't, which is why in the memo it says purported. There would just have to be more information to make an actual determination. But some say yes and some say no.
Okay. I mean, I did not see anywhere in the presentation itself, like at least we considered review of this information. I don't see it anywhere. That's why I'm asking that question. So
it is one of those items that cannot be considered as part of the decision process. And Jason can speak to that as well, but is based on what's occurring in the state and federal level, the health effects are not one of those things that are considered as with these applications, just for the very reason Paul points out in terms of there is no definitive answer.
Just a comment though, it says there is no definitive answer. At the same time, we are taking sides on one side, so that's how I feel about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chair Miller.
So, Paul, in your conversation about undergrounding of lines, you mentioned that only one instance of 500 kV lines going underground anywhere, and a lot of this conversation we've had is dealing with the 500 kV lines that are planning on Route 7. That's been the primary objection to many people about power lines. You said that there's only one instance that we know of in North America of 500 kV lines being built underground, and all the reasons for them not being built underground. Are we contradicting ourselves by putting this in the general plan and saying we know it doesn't happen, but we want it to happen?
Well, I mean, that's why it talks about short strategic distances. They're often only 230 kV and go, I think the longest one that we found was about 3.5 miles. So they're a tool in the toolbox for mitigating impacts, but they're not the panacea to solve the problem.
So in other words, it's as we go to the SCC to ask about these, to, hey, can we not do this, not do that? And our the end result of all this is that we now have something to go to the SCC and say, look, this is our county policy. And they can ignore us, they will. But by what we're now saying then is we know it can be done. And in these particular instances, we think this is a good spot for it. That's basically what we're saying?
That's correct. And if you look specifically at the part about the undergrounding, we're specifically identifying undergrounding as a means of mitigating community impacts, and particularly when it's in relationship to urban centers, mixed
right.
use development, residential areas. So we call those place types out specifically as those areas where we would anticipate undergrounding and or the consideration of undergrounding to mitigate those impacts. In those other areas where we have industrial and commercial uses, where we would anticipate
right.
those, we support that. So,
which makes sense for us to say we don't have a blanket policy of saying underground everywhere. It's we know that we're not going to get underground everything. So these are areas where we want to focus on undergrounding.
That's correct.
I have two more questions that are more related to the general understanding of everything that goes on. PJM is the regional overseer of the electrical utility, and that's Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and
it's a 13 state area, including
in Ohio.
13 states and the District of Columbia.
Okay. What happens outside of the PJM area? So there's multiple PJM type companies or organizations around the country. Is PJM large enough, and that we're located centrally enough, that we don't necessarily have to concern ourselves with what happens with the PJMs outside of our PJM area? In other words, if there is, everything feeds off itself. So are there things going on outside of PJM, the other PJMs, that would connect to us that could influence what happens here?
a large part of our electric generation is occurring in that PJM area.
Okay.
And some of those areas that are on the periphery of the PJM area may be served in sharing power with the other regional transmission organizations that are there.
But where we are, we're pretty much served by PJM.
Correct, because we're in the core of it when you take a look at that the map that we included with that.
Right, okay. And then finally, we talk about co-location, we talk about existing transmission corridors and all that. Can you please just reiterate to us, and this goes back to the 500 kV line running up and down Route 7 and back, why was our 54-mile, our section of the 54-mile transmission corridor, the WOD trail, not considered for the 500 kV lines?
I think because there was already infrastructure there, that 230 kV, and there was not the capability there. So if you take a look at our maps, they are trying to create these interconnected loops in
right.
case one section goes down, and that maintains reliability of the entire network. And so the 230 kV, there was not the ability to upgrade that section of the WNOD BRL to serve.
So it would have to be an upgrade, not an additional line. In other words, when the 500 kV lines come in, it's not going to be running parallel or on top of a 230 line. It's going to be replacing a 230 line with a 500 line?
In that existing, that corridor is so small, that's the issue. Well, we're really getting to the design aspects of all these
right.
type of things right now
right.
in terms of the higher level.
Right, this is more right. of a generic, I mean, I'm supporting of all the language. I was just, for education purposes,
correct.
Trying to understand that aspect of it.
Right.
So it's just a matter of there's no room to go take down the 230s and put up the 500s.
Correct. And you have to maintain service during that period. That's the other issue.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Myers.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I want to commend staff on the packet that they sent out for us. I thought it was easy to read, and it, even for somebody like me that's not dealing with this necessarily every day, I felt like I could follow it. So I want to compliment you on the packet, and I could tell there was a lot of work put into all the pages that you did and giving us the cross out so we could see what existed, what was coming, and then the reasoning behind it. So I do want to compliment you guys on the packet itself that came out to us. I thought it was, like I said, I don't want to say I enjoyed it, but I want to say I understood it, at least, okay? I'm not going to take that leap, okay? but I do want to, one of the things that I think, because when I read this stuff, I think about the old days when I used to be the person sitting there and trying to figure this out, sitting at home and all. I think one of the things for me that was a little hard, and I think would be for the general public, is the map that we're using, the draft map, because there's some marking of certain roads, but there's not of others. So like where you have, where really the 500 lines exist today and all, I'm assuming that's Route 659? When I look at the draft map on your presentation?
Yeah, so the reality of it is a lot of these don't follow. So where you're saying 659 down by the, a lot of these are following floodplains, other linear features. So they're not always following a road.
Because it's a straight line, just like 659.
Right, right. So it varies. And even our east-west line, you know, again, is an arbitrary line that follows a natural gas line that's there, that's been there for quite a while. The one thing for detail for this, we also maintain these same map layers on our county GIS layer. So if the public wants to look closely at them, you can see where these are and follow them on our layers,
so
on our GIS
could,
layer. So this is just the larger
like a
representation.
Note, a note, when we get this adopted, maybe a note on this that could say go to this or whatever to help people get to that. Because like I was trying to figure out, like, is that the WNOD, the one that we see that's just based, but then I thought, well, it can't be that because the WNOD goes past Leesburg. So I was trying to make sense of where today these lines exist, because the map was really what I had to go by. So I just think if there were some kind of description that says what they're following, or at least something for the reader that's looking at it that says go to this to understand it better, I think it would make it easier for the person that's trying to follow the process to see, okay, well, this is where that 500 line is, this is where the 230 is, because like I said, for me, I'm like, well, is that 659? And then this looks like this is the bypass around Leesburg, and then this might be the WNOD, but I don't think it is. And then this looks like the floodplain that's going up around the Goose. You know, so some kind of way where people can figure out, because this is really the only demarcation that they have to look at to kind of figure out where it's at. So if there's some kind of narrative or something that we could put with it.
We'll add a note to the map. Yeah.
So. I think that would be very helpful because, like I said, I was only because I've sat here and I've seen where we put stuff, you know, you kind of like you start trailing it. But I'm like, it took a lot of time to figure that out. When we're talking about the underground, and I attended a lot of the meetings when they were talking about the underground and the overheading that stop us from doing Waterford and out through the Ashburn area, and they talked a lot about the underground. Is all underground what I'm going to call exposed underground, or is there ever underground that is covered? Like the pictures that you show is what I call, you know, an exposed underground. It's not true an underground. Is that how all undergrounds are done?
Generally in our area, they place it in a concrete casement is how it's done.
But that casement is open on the top.
No, it's not.
So it's closed. So that's why I wanted to verify, because the picture you showed that you say is underground.
Under construction, correct.
Okay, so
and
maybe
it'll be
a
covered,
note if you use that again, because I'm like, that's not what I was used to seeing.
Right.
Okay, perfect. And then do we have the ability, seeing how this is our document that we're going to put into the general plan, it's about giving guidance, not setting regulations, even though it gets used sometimes that way. Do we have the opportunity to also put something in here as, because these are the lines that are going to feed to the substations, they're going to feed to the big gorillas that we don't want to call the big gorillas. Do we have the ability to put some kind of into this that talks about that whether it's Dominion or whoever, when they're telling us that there's power for an application, they're telling us when that power is available, and that we're getting then the people to agree that if there's no agreement that if they build beyond this, that there'll be any power, and it's not our responsibility to look at trying to do another substation for them. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. So, you know, we get people that come in that said, I came in, you know, 5 years ago, whenever I came in, it was by right. I've got my the rights to my building. I finally am now ready to build it. But four other guys have come in, and they've already gotten the use of that power that was available there. So now I need a new substation. You know, then you're being told, oh, but you approved it. It was approved. Now you've got to help it. Is there, like, something that we could put in the general plan that I want to call it almost like a residential disclosure that we would be using in real estate that says, just because you've come through and just because you got an application approved, that doesn't mean in 3 to 5 years when you come back that there will be availability of a source of energy for you. To me, it's kind of a, even though it's implied, it's not written, but to me, it just gives us another tool, the toolbox that said, hey, you, kind of like when you develop land, you knew there was a risk. It's not our responsibility to help take care of your risk.
Yeah. So it's out of the purview of this particular comprehensive plan amendment. I know for a fact, as part of the data center phase two, that they're looking at substations as part of that. But I don't know the details to kind of address your question, because it really comes down to the individual applications.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the substation. I'm talking about this is the energy that you need to get to that substation. That's what this is about. It's these high voltage lines, and that's what. And all of a sudden, when that use is all gone, then that's when we have to build the substation. So I'm just saying, when we're talking about these areas and the availability of use from them, can there be like a disclosure or something? And I don't know the right word, but can there be a thing that we put in there that says, in regards to a high voltage backbone, you know, there is no commitment made that it will be in a certain area? Because what my concern is that we keep hearing this, you know, oh, but you approved it, now we need it, what are we supposed to do? It's more like a maybe a buyer beware moment or something, whatever, because I think it kind of levels back down the playing field a little bit for the county to say, well, no, nobody ever told you just because that line went there that 5 years later there'd be enough capacity for you. And so we are not obligated to do a substation just for you.
And we don't have that information. I mean, that really falls into a lot of the planning that Dominion does in terms of their, you know, in terms of they've got commitments from certain users, mm-hmm. and that's more of that whole design of the entire electrical transmission network that's out there, and that really is what's, you know, kind of moving forward with some of these other proposals we have for new lines that we keep working on in the county as part of that master planning. But again, I don't believe there's an opportunity to really incorporate those kind of individual power demands as part of this.
It wasn't more, it was just more of a disclosure is what I was looking for us to give us that, because this is, you know, it's just a thing that you could use in the general, from the general plan, right. To say, you know, no, we're not obligated.
Yeah. I don't know if that'll come up in phase two with some of the data centers and high energy users in terms of that conversation. That may be the more appropriate box to put that in.
Okay.
All right. Just an idea.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Barnes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I just have a quick question. Do you know of any time when SEC or the Electric Dominion changed their mind the way they were routing the high voltage wires to change? If we asked them, hey, change this, would you please change this, take it up there, move it a little bit here? How many times have they changed their mind and took the counties?
I don't know of any particular incidents, but I can give you an example. For the Aspen to Golden route, which is the route that comes from Leesburg, runs along Route 7 down towards One Loudoun, and then drops down Loudoun County Parkway.
Yes.
One of the proposed routes was actually to drop down by Loudoun Water and then follow the Broad Run floodplain.
Yeah.
As part of our negotiations with the county and with Loudoun Water, we got them to stay out of the Broad Run floodplain and put it along Loudoun County Parkway. So that's where there's examples of that, and also in keeping with our policies of trying to avoid environmental impacts. And those are the type of things that why we have these policies, so we can point to those and have some standing when we say, don't go through a residential area, keep it in industrial areas, avoid environmental impacts. Here's some other things you can do to mitigate those visual impacts. So
yeah, I remember when they were putting these high voltage wires right on 7 going, and boy, the public showed up and everybody showed up quite a few years, and but they did what they wanted to do. Nothing was changed on it, the route they took. So I was wondering, all of this makes any sense? But what you said, that's a different incident that they changed it because some reason was there. But if they want to put a wire on any certain route, generally they don't change their mind. They take it that way. And we don't have much to say so about it. That's all I had to comment.
Thank you. Commissioner Combs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Pat, as I think about this CPAM, it really seems designed around trying to get the county to establish policy that can be recognized at the SEC and PJM level with respect to large-scale infrastructure. Do we have an opportunity here, and this is a scoping question, do we have an opportunity here to also perhaps enhance our design standards for substations? Could that be, for example, included in this CPAM?
It's no, then actually that's part of the design aspects of substations is actually in the phase two data center that will be coming, that they're working on right now.
Okay, so
we do have a county effort doing that.
That is underway, and that's just not part of this one?
Correct.
Okay, even though there is redlined in here a strategy regarding minimizing impacts through location, siting, and design techniques. And then one of the actions is with respect to substations.
And you'll see actually there's two policies that in there about substations.
Right.
Those are existing policies that are carryover from.
I see that they're minimally touched.
Exactly. Yeah. And the idea is that tees it up for this other CPAM then to address it.
Got it.
So
okay.
There is a rationale behind doing
that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Banks, do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I just have one. If you're aware, you showed the example of the upgrading of getting rid of the lattice and the hybrid and going to the monopoles, how you can get more lines in the same right-of-way corridor. Is PJM, or is anybody looking, given they know the demands for power this county is asking for, is there any efforts to do that kind of replacement with either the towers or replacing the, you said the lines can also, the newer lines. Is there any kind of big effort started yet to go ahead and start doing that? Where I imagine it's a huge undertaking, but we know the demand and it's only getting greater and it goes out several years. So I was just curious if there is any undertaking within the county to do that or through PJM even within their region.
So with all these projects, they're being directed by PJM in terms of that movement of the electricity, and then it comes down to Dominion for the actual construction. And so we've got multiple projects that are going, that Dominion has ongoing right now in Eastern Loudoun as well. There's another 500 kV line proposed to come in across the Potomac and down to the Aspen substation, which is just outside of Leesburg. So in general, a lot of our existing lattice towers are being proposed for wreck and rebuild projects where they will be replacing them with those lattice towers where they can add additional capacity to those. And so the example we provided with the lattice towers and the three poles is what you're going to see outside of Leesburg. And so we're seeing Dominion, as they move forward, trying to maximize and utilize their existing easements to provide additional power to meet the demand in the area as projected by PJM.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing for this item. We do have one speaker signed up, and that's Emily Johnson, representing the Piedmont Environmental Council.
My name is Emily Johnson on behalf of the Piedmont Environmental Council. We so appreciate staff work on this item, which is an essential effort to plan for the use of county corridors, account for soaring energy demand tied to county land use decisions, and strengthen the county position with utility partners and the SEC. We must be responsible, conscientious, and innovative in this regard as the data center capital of the world. We are grateful for the opportunity we were given to meet with Pat and Teresa in August, as well as the way they reflected one of our comments and mapping all of the county's 172 miles of high voltage transmission lines, including the smaller 138 kV lines. We still feel that the 2 miles of underground 230 kV line, which currently exists between Percival and Leesburg and is mentioned in the text, should also be included in the high voltage transmission map. Voltage level and underground or above ground placement are the driving factors for what kind of infrastructure ends up on the ground. And putting the underground segment on the map more fully shows what type of infrastructure currently exists, as well as where there's precedent for undergrounded transmission. We reiterate our other comments as well, including a need for environmental protection to be more actionable under the strategies. Although environmental impact is generally considered and a partial outcome of actions like 6.1A on co-location, explicit actions are needed as their primary purpose, direct avoidance or mitigation of environmental impacts in the siting of transmission lines and substations. Such impacts can include habitat loss, landscape fragmentation, erosion, invasive species susceptibility, floodplain degradation, and harm to waterways. For instance, some proposed transmission lines, like Golden to Mars, follow creek corridors. We suggest adding an action in Strategy 6.2 that calls for utilizing transmission design techniques and route alternatives to address these impacts, such as to environmental overlay districts, conservation easements, water resources, contiguous canopy, and working landscapes. Environmental resources should also be added to the sensitive resources considered in substation siting addressed in Action 6.2A. Our other remaining comments include, one, a need to plan for and specifically mention utility-scale generation in Action 6.4.E, two, a need to more broadly encourage oversight and organizing of easements for efficient corridors, not just the use of joint underground conduit systems in 6.3.C, and three, a need to add community concerns to Action 6.3A beyond those enumerated to encompass the multitude of reasons residents may call for undergrounding. Lastly, we encourage the county to prioritize this plan and begin action on phase two as soon as possible, as the timeline already extends well into 2027 and may not be as proactive as we should be in the face of forthcoming utility plans for more transmission lines and about 60 substations. If we delay too long, the locations and projects will already be determined without our guidance. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the only speaker we had signed up. Is there anybody else in the room that wishes to speak to this item? No? Okay. Anybody online wishes to speak? Nope. All right. And a public hearing is now closed for this item. Staff, any final comments? No? Okay. Commissioner Myers, this is a countywide application, so if you'd like to make a motion.
Can I just ask the question about why was the one, is there the line that she brought up that's underground, the 230 line in Leesburg and stuff, is there a reason why it wasn't mapped?
It is depicted on there, except we just, instead of distinguishing between underground and above ground, it's identified as the blue 230 kV line that runs all the way out to Percival there.
Okay.
However,
so maybe,
we do mention
the clarification we can do the next time is showing that that's an underground then too, just like you're going to do the note on the map about the layers.
We mention it also in the text.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to get that clarification if you didn't mind. I move that the Planning Commission approve and adopt the resolution recommending approval of CPAM 2024-0005 Electrical Infrastructure Comprehensive Plan Amendment by the Board of Supervisors provided as Attachment 7 to the October 28, 25 Planning Commission Public Hearing Staff Report.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Commissioner Myers, seconded by Commissioner Miller. Commissioner Myers, do you have an opening?
No, sir.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Commissioner Miller.
I just want to thank Pat and Paul and the crew for doing such a great job. It's important stuff that we at least have an opportunity to put, like the Chairman Keir said, put another arrow in our quiver, even if the SEC might just catch it and break it in half and say, yeah. At least we're making the effort to do that. I do want to just comment on what Commissioner Barnes had said, asking if they ever listen. It seems to me that the higher up you go, the less they listen. Dominion, I actually have experience, an application you're all going to see next month, I'm recusing myself from a parcel of land that Dominion said we're going to run the power lines, this particular one, right through that property. We called Dominion and said, hey, we plan on spending $70 million to build here. Please don't route through here. And they said, oh, we didn't know. We just saw open land, so we figured that's the path of least resistance. Once they knew, they listened, they changed the route. Once you get to the SCC, they don't listen as much. But this is, we're doing the best that we can to try and at least give the state a reason to consider us, and you never know, maybe at some point in time they might. And without having this effort, we have no chance. So thank you for all you're doing. Thank you, appreciate it.
Okay. Commissioner Banks, any comments?
No, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. My only comment is I have a feeling phase two isn't going to go this quick, but we'll look forward to getting that when you finish up with it. Commissioner Barnes, go ahead.
I just have a comment. I didn't mean that we shouldn't have this. I was just talking about it, how much influence do we have on changing the things, you know, but nah, we need this. So I'm going to vote for it.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Commissioner Myers, closing?
Just again, as I said in the beginning, thank you again. It was a really good report, easy to read. And I hope that you guys will keep the comments that I made, and I know that Commissioner Combs made in regards to when we get to that, the gorilla discussion, because those are things that I definitely think we need to have a discussion about, both what we can do with the substations, how they look, and then also, you know, some type of way we can protect ourselves that we're not obligated to supply power that we may not have the ability to deliver yet. But with that being said, you know, I think we're going to all support this tonight. And again, thank you guys for a really good job.
Okay, we have a motion to approve and adopt the resolution. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That motion will carry 801 with Commissioner Jasper absent for the vote. Staff, thank you very much. A couple announcements, and I think Brian has a few administrative items. One, since we didn't send this to work session, we will not have a work session on December 11th. We will have the public hearing on December 18th, and there are two items scheduled for that public hearing. I don't believe there'll be any more added to it. So we will have December 11th work session. Yep. So we have two in November.
In December.
Yeah, that's December.
Right.
So the December 11th work session will be canceled. Secondly, then today is Commissioner Miller's birthday. I just want to bring that up.
Hey, when you get to be this age, you know how to party, and it's at a planning commission meeting.
That age was a long time ago, Mark.
Yeah.
Brian, do you have some administrative items?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Happy Pause is coming on December 18th. I'm letting you know that because a commissioner asked the question at the last work session. Also a reminder that the two upcoming hearings are moved up a week to accommodate Thanksgiving and Christmas. These dates are already on your county calendars, but I just wanted to verbally remind you of them. Those are November 20th and December 18th. And then lastly, I wanted to let the commission know that at the business meeting on October 21st, the board endorsed an updated planning and zoning work plan. The work plan is the document that outlines all the various projects and initiatives that my department has in the queue to complete. One major update in this work plan is the addition of a project to reflect the eventual dissolution of the Route 28 taxing district. The district's debt is expected to be paid off a little earlier than anticipated, so the project is timely. The project includes a CPAM and ZOAM to remove references to the tax district from the general plan and zoning ordinance. The board will need to decide how to address the zoning of properties that are currently administered under the 1972 zoning ordinance. That could potentially involve a county-initiated ZMAP or ZRTD and repeal of the zoning ordinance. But my department and the county attorney's office are still discussing what our legal options are and what the potential alternatives are so we can recommend an approach. In terms of the timeline for that project, I believe we anticipate it to start during fiscal year 2027, so sometime after July. And okay. That's it.
That's it. Yep. Commissioner Myers?
I just had one request to make. As Brian knows, Commissioner Jasper and I had a, should I use the word lively? Our meeting?
Sure.
Yeah. We had a very lively meeting with one of the county attorneys and Brian and Keith from the zoning enforcement in regards to Happy Pappy Paul. One of the things I would like to make sure that's happening between now and the public hearing is we were a little bit surprised to find out that the emails that are coming to us in regards to people's concerns about the application are not being shared for whatever reason with the zoning enforcement people that actually started this whole process. And so when we sat there, we were told that they only had ever had one complaint, and we're like, no, have you not seen? And they're like, well, no, we haven't. So, and I'm not judging anybody with that statement. I want that clear. I'm not judging anybody, but I think it's going to be very important because I know questions are going to be asked at that public hearing. And I think it's very important that we make sure all that correspondence that's been coming into us is also shared with the zoning enforcement folks that will be sitting here that night, because it's going to be, it was quite different when all of a sudden you sat in the meeting and they say, well, we don't understand why everybody's upset. We've had two complaints, that's it, and they're working on it. And we're like, no, there's a lot more than that. So, but they said they'd never seen them. So I want to make sure that that information that we're getting is being shared with the zoning enforcement people that are going to be here the night of the public hearing also, so that we're all on the same page as relates to that particular application. And that there's also an update to us that identifies by the current zoning ordinance the regulations and the rules as it relates to how many animals are allowed by right on a property. Because that was about a 10-minute discussion before we got the answer. So I think that's a real important part of this, to understand an entitlement versus a permission. So if we could have those, make sure that they're ready, I just think that would be good for that night. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I do expect that to be a lively conversation in December. So anyways, with that then, we are, oh, no. Okay, we are adjourned.
Why would we move that to the 11th versus the 18th?
Because they won't be ready. I tried. Christmas. I tried.